Chapter 36. I grabbed my raincoat just in case the clouds decided to open up again, pulled on my rain boots because I knew the grass would be squishy, found my umbrella and purse, and headed for my car, which was parked under the carport. Rain dripped from tree branches as I started down my driveway. I switched on the windshield wipers for a few minutes, splatted through puddles, and soon reached the road out of town toward the Carver estate. I was so busy suppressing my bossy inner voice that kept insisting I was doing a foolish thing, that I nearly missed the turnoff to the farm. Seeing it at the last minute, I wrenched my steering wheel to the right and crept down the flooded lane toward the mansion. How would I know when I had reached the part of the pasture where Miss Evangeline had met her death? I tried to estimate how far Ken and I had ridden that morning. It seemed to me the clump of cedars would have been directly west of this road. But between the road and the pasture was a heavy stand of trees, very wet, dripping trees, which looked amazingly like the trees lining the path from Myra's house to the mansion. Although I didn't admit it to many people, I was directionally challenged. Besides, to me, trees were all oaks or maples. It was not beyond the realm of possibility that if I tried to find my way through these woods, I would get lost. Hopefully, the clouds and early twilight would conceal my movements from anybody in the house. Having discarded the idea of trying to walk through the thick grove of trees, I drove my car onto the shoulder of the road and pondered the problem. Ken was no longer in residence, so I couldn't ask his advice. Cade said he was in protective custody. He and I had ridden into the pasture from the barn the day we found the spot where Miss Evangeline had died. With the barn as my starting point, surely I could find the cedar thicket and that intriguing bit of white caught on a low limb. I slung my purse over my shoulder and opened the car door. A gust of wind nearly pushed me back inside the cab. What was I thinking coming alone to a place where murder had happened? A little voice inside my head kept repeating, "Fool's errand, fool's errand." Struggling against the wind, I concentrated on finding the barn. At last the mansion rose through the shadows. Dodging away from those long windows, I crept behind hedges and trees until at last I reached the barn. I squinted into the pasture, trying to get my bearings. Finally, I crossed my fingers and started in the general direction Ken and I had ridden. After what seemed an eon of battling the wind, I stumbled over a rock and glanced down at my feet. A good sign. I remembered that rocks littered the area where Miss Evangeline's ride had ended. Soon, a clump of cedars that looked familiar rose from the pasture. My heart quickened. I had found it. I dropped to my knees within the thicket. The photo had shown the white object nearly obscured by low-hanging branches, only inches from the ground. Rummaging in my purse, I found a small flashlight and shone its thin beam around the area. The wet grass soaked my jeans as I crawled from cedar to cedar. At last, my light picked out that intriguing white scrap. Carefully unwinding it from a stubby limb, I smoothed it out over my knee. It was a piece of linen, and even though it was muddy and bedraggled, I could tell it had been torn from something larger, something like a tablecloth or maybe a sheet. An embroidered letter near the hem, a fancy letter C, identified it as belonging to the estate. What would an article from the linen closet of the mansion be doing out here in the pasture, caught on a low-hanging limb, very near the spot where Miss Evangeline had died? Standing up, I stuffed the remnant into my purse. This could be important. It might have a bearing on the way Miss Evangeline died, although at the moment I couldn't see a relationship. I would share my discovery with Cade. Maybe he could determine its importance. A cold prickle of fear ran down my back as I felt, rather than saw, a presence behind me. I heard a footstep and a breath. I was not alone. Before I could turn around, something crashed against my skull. A 1,000 lights exploded before my eyes, and blackness closed around me.